WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. In 16 days of fighting, more than 5,000 people have been killed between Israel and residents of Gaza. Palestinian Health Ministry says the death toll is above 4,600 people and more than 1,400 have been killed in Israel, the majority in the October 7th Hamas attack. Israel is expected to send forces into Gaza. ABC's Matt Gutman in Tel Aviv has more on the timing.
We understand it that Israel has not yet decided when exactly to launch that incursion into Gaza. There are a host of reasons for that. First is the welfare of those hostages, echoed strongly by U.S. officials in the U.S. And of course, concern over igniting a regional war and concern over mounting casualties.
More humanitarian aid entered Gaza today. 17 trucks filled with supplies crossed over from Egypt. Advocates say the border needs to remain open for supplies. At least seven Republicans are expected to step forward in the bid to become the next Speaker of the House. This is ABC News. The Nashville police chief, John Drake, confirms that his 38-year-old estranged son is the man suspected of shooting two police officers outside of a store in Laverne, Tennessee, Saturday. One officer was treated and released from a hospital. The other is in stable condition and was kept overnight for observation. New numbers illustrate who is getting caught trying to enter the U.S. at the southern border.
For the first time on record, Mexicans have been displaced as the most arrested nationality for illegally crossing the U.S. border, according to Border Patrol data. The agency says Venezuelans were arrested 54,833 times after entering from Mexico in September. That's more than double the number in August. Across the board, arrests of all nationalities entering from Mexico topped 218,000 in September, up 21% from August and approaching the all-time high set in December last year. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A report from the U.S. Defense Department finds 245 of its 275 installations are close to groundwater sources. That includes the West Bend Armory in Wisconsin. With more now, here's Edwin J. Vieira.
A new report finds plumes of so-called forever chemicals from Department of Defense installations are located dangerously close to groundwater sources. Cleanup is underway on the majority of them, with remediation plans for the others being developed. Jared Hayes with the Environmental Working Group describes where the chemicals came from.
The primary source of PFAS into the groundwater coming from these bases has been the historic use of firefighting foam containing PFAS, known as AFFF. These foams were used for decades, primarily to put out oil and gas fires or aviation fires.
He explains these foams were washed off the tarmac and into the soil, where they could leach into groundwater supplies. Several methods, such as granular activated carbon and reverse osmosis, have shown success in removing PFAS from drinking water, but they don't break down these chemicals. New regulations have been proposed by the Environmental Protection Agency to keep people safe from PFAS. The National Primary Drinking Water Regulation would establish maximum containment levels for numerous forever chemicals. Hayes says this is important since there are numerous health impacts to ingesting PFAS.
Long-term exposure through drinking water, PFAS has been linked to development of different types of cancer. cancer. It has also been linked to immune system harms, raised cholesterol, as well as birth defects.
This is Edwin J. Vieira. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last class.
Civic Media on Twitter.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, not the co-host today, the host. alongside, what do you? Are you feeling that song?
I was feeling you being the host.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I know it feels really good to be in the hot seat right now.
It does.
I'm not mad at that.
No.
Mike Kretschmer.
What is up?
Hi. You are in the other hot seat. You're the co-host today. How do you
feels
feel
good.
About that?
Feels good. Getting comfortable.
Yeah? Good. You should. Hopefully, we're going to be bringing you on when Joel, since Joel is gone, he's in Wyoming right now, mule deer hunting.
Yeah, he's been... What, Tennessee, now mule deer hunting in Wyoming?
Wait, why did he go to Tennessee?
He was bow hunting, I think.
Oh, well, he goes all over. Okay, so,
good
side
for him.
Note,
good
side
for him.
Note, I was thinking more or less, Joel is my guinea pig.
Oh, boy.
Joel, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. But just think about it. I am still, I want to do quote-unquote, a new hunter. Like, I've been hunting since I was 23. I'm 35, right? But Joel is going everywhere. So he's my trial and error. He is going there. So maybe he can tell me about his experience. I'd be like, no, check that off the list. Or like, heck yeah, I have to go there. Because mule deer hunting, that is one of my goals. That is a bucket list item for me, right?
And us poor folk, you know, he'll tell us where we should spend our money and where not to spend our money.
Trailer park rich, he says. Trailer park rich. But Wyoming, I don't know. How do I know where to go for mule deer? He's going to Wyoming, so maybe it's going to be like, that's the spot. That's what I have to do.
Trial and error.
Yep. But he is trial and erring.
For us.
Erring?
Erring.
Yeah. There you go. He is doing that for me, so I'm... Thank you, Jill. Thank you very much. You're listening to 540 AM, 101 FM, WAUK, The Shaw. Give us a call at 844-967-2789. So with Joel gone, we have a hodgepodge of an episode because I have so much in my head, so much in my brain. Like pheasant hunting, it just opened. Yep. Did you go out at all?
No. Well, I went deer hunting.
You went deer hunting?
Yeah.
Was deer hunting successful for
you? Yeah, I shot a deer on Sunday night.
A deer, like a doe or a buck? Am I allowed
year and
to
a
ask
half.
This?
Yeah, it's a doe. I mean, meat in the freezer.
Meat in the freezer. There you go.
Yeah.
I am very excited for you about that.
We'll round back on that because after last week's show, we're talking about tagging. I found out a little bit more about the harvest. So we'll maybe the next segment or something. We'll get
call
the DNR.
You called the DNR.
I did. I asked about. Well,
good for you.
I will explain it later to everybody.
See,
but
they're friendly though. You can call and ask. People are terrified to call them.
Right.
I'm like, one year I messed up because I forgot about the patron's license. Right. So I bought my fishing license. I bought a turkey tag, and I bought a early goose and goose. I'm like, oh, but I already have this, but it's part of the patron's license. So I called them. I'm like, what do? I don't want to waste all my money, right?
Right.
And it's like trailer park rich. I don't want to waste all my money. Granted, it was just a couple,
$20, $30. Adds up.
And I called them like, oh, well, we'll just do this. And they refunded me money and then we put it all together. But of course, I donated it back because buying a tag, buying a license and everything donates to the whole purpose of why we do this too, for conservation, right?
Absolutely.
So, DNR, they're awesome. Talk to them.
Yeah, she was very, very friendly. Somebody here in the state. So, you know, it was good. But we'll get into that. or another time because it flies when you're on air, you know?
It does. It definitely does.
But I was, shot a doe. And then my buddy Chris shot a really nice buck. And same night, I'm like, I just whacked a doe. And he's like, I just shot a monster. Just really came across the bean field right into his food plot. And I think he had one picture of it. So these deer are moving. I mean, it's getting to be that time.
Yeah, so the rut, right? The rut is the beginning of November.
It's starting.
But I always, for me, every year I say it's the beginning. It's Halloween.
Like October 31st,
yeah,
people.
That's when they come out.
If you're a bow hunter, you need to be in the woods on October 31st.
They put their doe mask on. They're out there trying to play trick or treat.
Maybe
and I'm
for
like,
you.
Trick or treat, dude. I got you. I'm so ready for that. And luckily, I just got another property to hunt, and she gave me permission to go hang out some tree stands and everything and trail cameras. So crossing my fingers. Oh, let's talk quickly about trail cameras.
Okay.
Do you have cell cameras or just like the regular SD card cameras?
No, I have cell cams.
Do you have cell cams?
We actually have another guest on the show.
We do.
Sorry, Mr. Joe. But
You can chime in whenever you want.
Joe can attest to this. Like, he's probably got a lot more cameras than I do.
How do you say your last name?
How would you say it?
Oh, gosh. I can't. I'm live on Instagram. Spell it out. Could you write it down and I'll play that game. I'm not angry.
It's pronounced Kickeisen.
Kickeisen.
Yep.
Kickeisen.
Yeah. Slightly German.
Kickeisen.
Correct.
Can we just call you Heisen? Heisman, we'll call you Heisman Trophy.
I've been called much worse, so that kind of works for me.
You got input on this whole trail camera situation?
Yeah. So I've been running them for probably 4 or 5 years now.
What brand do you use? I just bought a Moultrie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you have?
I've got multiple brands. and I've got several Moultries.
Yeah.
And I think that they all have pluses and minuses. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's just one that it's going to fit everybody. I just bought a property that cell reception isn't the greatest. So, it's always a consideration which camera gets better reception than others and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Moultries seem to be doing pretty well. I've had really good luck with Reveals.
Yeah, the Tacticam, a Wisconsin, Minnesota-based company. That's what I run.
That's what you run, Tacticam?
Yep, the Tacticam Reveal is their trail cam version.
Yeah.
And I've had Gen 1s, Gen 2s. They've been great.
That's good. I just brand new to cell cameras, right? Brand new. Literally day one for me.
Yeah.
I'm having an issue because I feel like my camera, the pictures that it takes like 5 minutes for me to see it. And it's very frustrating.
Really?
Because I'm like, I want it now. I need it now. That's why I have you. I want you to send me those pictures immediately, please.
Yeah.
So here's, just so you can see it. Obviously, people can't see it at home, but
those are much better than my pictures. So, the quality.
But that was Instagram. Like at 7 o'clock this morning. Talk about when you're driving into work and... You're driving into work and your phone goes off. You're like, oh, no. But that's part of the game, right?
I got a question for you guys. Danielle's pretty new to cams, but for Joe and Mike, you guys ever caught anything spooky or scary or unexpected on your trail cams?
It's almost Halloween.
same idea, yes. But have you guys caught maybe like a two-headed deer or something out there? I want to know.
Or the 30-point buck?
Him.
Yeah.
There's a song about him.
Yeah, right. You there is a song about him.
I'm from the North Woods.
I'm so proud of you.
That's funny.
Okay, a good story.
Yeah, to be honest, nothing comes to mind.
Okay, have you any pictures? You're like, ooh, I want to frame this one. Do dudes frame pictures?
I mean, some people do if they have it. Yeah, absolutely. If you shoot that deer that you had history with in your trail cam pictures, absolutely people will do put it up next to the deer.
See, I'm thinking like, look at that cardinal. It looks really good on that branch with that oak tree in the background and this leaves have changed.
2 years ago, my coworker's husband had an elk on camera out by Holy Hill.
No.
They showed me it was real quiet and they're like, you will never believe what we have on camera. I'm like,
no.
What? Like, it's not Bigfoot. What is it? I mean, that Holy Hill area with that Bigfoot that one time. But I was like, what is it?
That's
like,
my stomping grounds.
Keep it quiet. And I'm like, what? And they're like, showed me the video of an actual video on the trail camera of a cow elk walking by and then a bull right there and bugling right in the thing.
No.
Middle of the night. I was like,
was it beautiful?
Yeah, it was awesome. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, you got to tell people. Like, and it was on the news. And then all of a sudden, there was a couple spots. So it was out of the Black River herd.
Okay.
And that cow and bull, I think it was 2 years ago, I think it was, wasn't it, or something?
Yep.
Traveled and obviously is no Norris, but I mean, bears now. People got bears around here.
Bears are going all around Facebook and, you know, all over social media, which I'm completely stunned by.
Yeah.
But it's it just doesn't
getting
seem,
wild.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like down here we should have that, which I'm very thankful. I want that. That's so cool because now I don't have to move up north to enjoy all the great outdoors up there. But yeah. That'd be cool. So no cool stories?
I mean, a couple of people that aren't supposed to be on there, and that's about all I've
had. Hey, man, that's the wildest animal of all.
Us?
Yeah.
Humans, That's the greatest hunt of all, isn't it?
And unpredictable.
Yeah.
Hunting buddies.
Yeah.
Knowing that the camera's there, and then they position themselves, maybe without
different funny type pictures. Of moon.
Yeah, well, without certain parts of clothing and stuff like that. And,
please don't do that in front of my trail camera.
It's a whole new meaning to gone wild.
But give us a call at 844-967-2789. I want to hear your stories. I don't have any cool stories yet. I just had a big time trail camera. Not a cell one, just a regular SD card one.
Yeah.
I have nothing cool. I saw a hawk fly right there in front of it. Feet down, ready to scoop up something. That's the coolest thing I've got so far, or in the past.
Yeah, I've had birds and stuff like that, and different animals.
But it's so cool to see.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's half the fun. Like, I get more excited some days when I like see my little notification go off. I'm like, oh,
what's there? And it's not a like text message. You have to talk to somebody. It's an actual like good picture. You're like, yes. But I'm ready. I don't know if I'm upset or not because I have not received
a picture yet.
It's been, what time is it? 7 o'clock. It's been an hour and a half.
Yeah, you were just in there.
An hour and a half.
Well, you know, and the one thing that I think most people should know about the cell cams is, like I mentioned, the property that we have has poor cell reception, right? And it's weird. It's like you'll have good cell reception for a couple hours, and then all of a sudden it's bad.
Oh, no.
And it just comes and goes. But if there is something that triggers that camera and the cell signal is bad, it won't send that picture, but it saves it to the SD card.
Oh, but my Moultrie does not have an SD card.
Yours is all cell?
All cell. No SD card whatsoever.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah. That's kind of why I bought it. And plus, it was on sale.
Yeah.
Well, duh.
Yeah. I mean, that sale helps. Item. Helps, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're 100. So on mine, I have it in 3-picture bursts. So it sends the middle picture.
Oh. So happened?
Yeah, it takes a picture, 3 seconds later, takes a picture, 3 seconds later, takes a picture, and I always get the middle one. So sometimes it's perfect, other times I have nothing because something ran by so fast. So.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Good, because I actually have questions about mine. Maybe I can show you after the show what's going on. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Raised in Wisco.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Like a couple of kids just trying to save each other. You should have seen it in color.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Danielle Fairman, alongside Mike Kretschmer and Heisman Trophy.
I've been called worse. Joe Keckheisen.
Keckheisen.
Kretschmer and Keckheisen. Two Germans.
My Lanza. Harriman. Hi. Harriman. This is Bandit. That's Anya.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's kind of, well, not very German. Sometimes people spell it A-N-J-A, thinking it's the German J, the ya.
Ja.
Anya. But I'm not. I got a Y. Why? Because I gotta. That was dumb. I'm really sorry, guys. It's the end of like a 50-hour work week for me. I leave for Houston tomorrow, so you're getting the worst of me tonight.
This is exciting. This is my favorite of you right now. You're making me laugh nonstop. All right, during our break, I was able to talk to you about Shot for Hope. And Shot for Hope is like a make-a-wish for children. Mm-hmm. And they're based out of the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you to stop talking to me about it because I kind of got a little sad. And you have a lot more information about this. So Shot for Hope, based out of Twin Cities, it takes kids out hunting and fishing,
yeah,
and enjoying the great outdoors, which hopefully it's good and therapeutic for them.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit more about Shot for Hope?
Yeah. So back 11 years ago, I was on a TV show on the Sportsman's Channel.
Nice.
And the organization reached out to us and said, hey, we're having a fundraiser. Could you come up and, you know, hang out, have a good time, help us raise money? So we did, met the whole organization, great people. It's, you get a sense of the community coming together, you know, and it you know, it's all outdoor orientated people that get to see the kids that are going on hunts before they actually go on hunts.
Yeah.
So it, you know, I kind of, after the TV program that I was on stopped airing, I kind of took to the whole production side of things, and I started filming, and I actually created a production business. And with
That's
awesome. That, then, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I get more enjoyment watching other people, you know, have a
absolutely.
Good time. And, especially kids. So
they're just so full of joy and first time, let's do it.
And the memory of it, right? Joe's very good at what he does, and he puts it together. And then even, not even kids, but adults that have been out, in the pictures, the quality, everything he does is like, it's as good as anybody out there. And it is, you see the stuff and it's just like.
I'm sorry, do you still have this production business?
I do.
You do? What is it called?
New Order Productions.
New Order Productions.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Are you always looking for new clients? Maybe somebody listening might reach out
and
be like,
no.
Do it.
I'm fortunate that I have a full-time career outside of production, so this is just fun money for me. So it's a little side hustle. So, you know, yeah, I mean,
it depends. So I chased a lot of work when mm-hmm. I first opened it up. So I filmed for a lot of programs, and it just started wearing on me a little bit. So
yeah.
I went ahead and kind of tailored back and got real selective about who I was filming for. So with that, then shot for Hope, I started filming all of their hunts. I went on all the trips for the most part, if scheduling allowed. So it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization that takes at least 2 to 3 kids per year.
Oh, wow.
On a dream hunt is the way they phrase it. So we go to Texas for whitetails, Idaho for elk, Illinois for whitetails. We've been on numerous hunts all over the U.S.
Awesome. Yeah. I know Joel has that Triple J Outfitters down there for gator and boar.
Yeah, that'd be a good one for in the future for somebody that wants to chase a gator.
Oh, yeah, that'd be so cool to do.
Yeah. Yeah. The nice thing is we partnered with, and not to say that we're not looking for other outfitters, but, one of the things that, the organization, the concept was created by Eric and Missy Steingraber up in near the Twin Cities. Eric has a daughter with MS, and so she's bound to a chair, and he wanted to get her hunting. So through technology, there's a lot of things that enable these kids or adults that mm-hmm. have disabilities to get out in the woods and hunt. Track chairs, these straws that they're able to suck or blow into that actuates a trigger on a firearm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really cool.
I did not know about that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, wow.
So
definitely have to look more into that. Not that I need it, but it's cool to know that the opportunity is there for people.
Yeah, so it really enables any kid to go hunting, and that's, what Shot for Hope is all about. Mm-hmm. So if you have or know of a child that's got some sort of life-altering illness, we'll take them on a dream hunt.
That's beautiful. How do they get...
Oh, sorry, quick question, Joe. When you say life-altering, just so like our listeners mm-hmm. know, Make-A-Wish tends to be for kids who are, unfortunately, they have diseases that are potentially terminal. Mm-hmm. Is that a requirement for this, or is this more any kid who has something just huge happen?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, anything. So we've had both. We've had kids that have just, a lifelong disability, and then we've had also kids like... kids that have cancer and things like that. So, one of the things that's most difficult actually is trying to find kids.
Trying to find the kids?
Yeah.
Oh, I can imagine.
So it's mainly word of mouth. We've got a website, shotforhope.com. But really it's difficult trying to find kids. If anybody knows any kids
anywhere, right? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be Wisconsin, Minnesota. It could be anybody from anywhere.
Oh, yeah. And what's the website? Shotforhope.com?
Correct.
All right. So when we get back from the break, we're going to talk more about Shot for Hope. If you have any big questions, give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Raised in Wisco.
This one is my favorite one. This is
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. In 16 days of fighting, more than 5,000 people have been killed between Israel and residents of Gaza. Palestinian Health Ministry says the death toll is above 4,600 people, and more than 1,400 have been killed in Israel, the majority in the October 7th Hamas attack. Israel's expected to send forces into Gaza. ABC's Matt Gutman in Tel Aviv has more on the timing.
We understand it that Israel has not yet decided when exactly to launch that incursion into Gaza. There are a host of reasons for that. First is the welfare of those hostages, echoed strongly by U.S. officials in the U.S. And of course, concern over igniting a regional war and concern over mounting casualties.
More humanitarian aid entered Gaza today. 17 trucks filled with supplies crossed over from Egypt. Advocates say the border needs to remain open for supplies. At least 7 Republicans are expected to step forward in the bid to become the next Speaker of the House. This is ABC News.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Listen to a podcast of it.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Danielle Fairmount, alongside Kretschmer and Keck Heismer. Yes!
Yes! Keck Heismer.
Close enough.
Keck Kaizen. Dang, nab it, man.
In the fourth hour, ladies and gentlemen, Danielle will get this correct.
Finally get it.
I don't know who's producing you for 4 hours. Gosh, guys.
Yeah, you're going on vacation. You out.
I am.
You gone. Well, are you going to be here next week, then?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, I'll be back early Monday morning. Don't worry.
Yay for you.
Yay you.
Very exciting. All right, so it was wonderful hearing about Shot for Hope. That is Eric and Missy Steingraber. That one's very easy to say.
Yep.
Why can't your last name be that easy?
It is easy. Just have to learn it.
We have a caller online, and I heard it is Eric. Eric, are you listening to Raisin Wisco? How are you? Is this
yes,
Eric?
Yes, I am here.
Hello. How this are you?
Good. You just can refer to me as Steiny.
Steiny.
A lot easier than Keckheisen.
At least you can say it correctly. So you founded Shot for Hope, correct? Is that right?
Yeah, me and my wife, Missy, founded Shot for Hope back in 2012.
2012, and it was there inspiration behind it? Was it your
daughter?
Yeah, my daughter, Callie, she's now 23 years old.
Ooh,
but
get it, girl.
When she was 10, backstory, she's got cerebral palsy, not MS, but Joe's was close. it's okay. Back when she was 10, I got a call from a gentleman who takes kids with life-threatening illnesses or life-altering conditions on hunts on his property in the local area, and asked if I was interested in taking Callie. And my first thought was, yeah, for sure, but how the heck are we going to do this? I mean, yeah. Callie's wheelchair-bound. She doesn't have the use of her limbs. How are we going to, hunt? So he goes, don't worry about any of that stuff. Come on up here and we'll show you. Long story short, he showed us, and I came home from that event. I did ask him before I left. I asked him how many kids he does that for, each year. And he does it for 2 kids each year. And it just hit me hard because in my mind, there's hundreds of kids that could benefit from this.
Oh, absolutely. Correct. And they just don't know that it's out there yet. And it's definitely something that
right,
needs to be known.
The ability. Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have such a hard time finding kids, just like myself. I was a dad, Callie was my firstborn, and I was a avid hunter, fisherman. When you hear your wife's pregnant, your first thought is, well, I got a hunting buddy coming along.
Yep.
So, and then, things happen, and then kind of goes away. And so I think a lot of parents out there are in situations like myself and my wife, we just don't think their child is capable of doing such a thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that hit me kind of hard, and I, slept on it for not very long, to be honest with you. I woke up one morning, I said, Missy, this is what we're going to do.
That's awesome.
Awesome. And she was probably like, let's do it. Let's go. I'll go for it, right?
Yeah, we hit it. We did a dry run, and that was the first time we met Mr. Keckheisen. we didn't offer a hunt that year. We just wanted to try to get everybody together on the same page, and spend the day together and see what we could raise for money and what interest we had. So it was kind of a dry run, and the place was packed.
It's awesome.
The place was packed. From there, I'm like, well, pretty obvious,
Yeah.
And the next year we hit the ground running. So
that's pretty cool.
How do you publicize about this? How do you make it aware? Is it just through your website, or do you go hang flyers around? How do you get the word out?
No, that's kind of the struggle.
Yeah.
Again, we do have a core volunteer, but